Good morning. It's good to be here. Our souls feel blessed already. And we're thankful for that. Thankful for the messages last night and the music and the fellowship. And bring you greetings from Faith Baptist Church in Portland, Michigan. And we appreciate your prayers there. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Matthew chapter 8. Originally, my title and my thoughts were the exact same text and the exact same title as Brother Ryan, but the Lord would not give me a message along that line. And I like the miracles. There's a lot in them. It's kind of, when you're given a topic like that, it's kind of like being a kid in a candy store and you just don't know where in the world to go. And somewhat began to be convicted about the fact that I tend to ignore the particular miracle that's in this passage because it's been hard to learn from and hard to preach from. And it is a miracle here of two demon-possessed men being having their devils cast out, and the devils are cast into swine which run down a hill and kill themselves, and it just seems like an odd story, and I'm guilty of brushing over it in many of my Bible studies. But we'll begin in verse 28. Now they had just been in the boat on the rough seas. They just landed on shore. That history was covered last night after the feeding of the 5,000, the rough seas, and then they landed upon shore. And when they're come to the other side there in verse 28 of Matthew 8, when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gerasenes, I have a hard time saying that, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. Matthew is the only one that records two men. I suppose that may be because one was more fierce than the other. Maybe one was more of a spokesman than the other. But Matthew records the fact that there were two of them and that no man might pass by that way. Nobody could ever go through that area. These would come out of the tombs possessed of devils, crying, and they were violent, and he describes them as exceeding fierce. And they've come up upon a great, great obstacle, which it had been mentioned and brought out very well by both Brother Ryan and Brother Bowen last night, of the fact that miracles happen when there's a need. A need arises, a problem arises, and then through the solving of that problem, we see the Lord. And in this passage, we have the problem. We have these two men, which are exceeding fierce. Mark records the fact that they identify themselves as legion, which is many. And according to biblical history, legion could be anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000. This is quite a problem that they've come up against. And the history of the matter is that no man ever could go that way. No man had ever made it through this obstacle. And in our lives, we face obstacles. Some of the obstacles we face, nobody's ever made it through. Nobody survives some of the obstacles that we have faced. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is not just any man.
Right.
They've come up upon a barrier that's dark. It's demonic. Some of the things that we face in our lives are downright wicked and demonic. Mm-hmm. They're barriers. They're difficulties. They may be barriers that are in our career. They may be barriers that are just in our heart and in our mind. And they may be dark. And they may be massive. And we are hemmed in oftentimes by these barriers. And they are barriers that no man can pass through. That was the situation here, that people did not go that way. People did not get through there. Now, God's sovereignty had placed them there after they had come through that storm and landed upon the from the ship. God's sovereignty had placed them in a place where there were great barriers and great difficulties. This is a very different miracle. There's so many things about it that are so different. Verse 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" The demons here in this miracle are the only ones making a request. In all other miracles, we have an afflicted individual, or we have the disciples, or we have someone making a request. In this particular miracle, the only request is made by the demons, which makes it very different. The Bible makes reference to the fact that the demons have faith. The demons have belief. And in fact, in this miracle, the faith of the demons rebukes our faith. The demons had no doubt concerning their future. They had no doubt. They knew that there was a day coming, and they know that there's a day coming in which they are going to be cast into everlasting torment. They know that day is coming. It grips them as extremely real. And any moment that they're brushed up against the presence of God, that moment grips them. But we can sit in the services and we can go places and be in and amongst the miracles and the presence of God, and the future does not touch us. The demons were gripped with the future, and they said, "Are you come to torment us before the time? Don't torment us before the time." They knew their time was coming. They knew their time was short, and they didn't want it further shortened. And they were making requests. The demons are praying the Lord would grant their request. How the demons in this passage rebuke us. There is no grace, there is no mercy for the eternal soul of these demons, as there is for you and I. But yet, it does not stop them from making request. And they request... Their request here is that God would not torment them before their time. He would give them space. And in verse 30, "And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding." Verse 31, "So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." They came up with a solution. And they requested that it would be answered according to that solution. And we see in verse 32, "And he said unto them, Go." This also is a one-word miracle. We sometimes see conversations between people and the Lord. He answers with just one word. Go. Luke chapter 7 will reference another miracle, if you'll turn with me. Luke chapter 7. And this is a miracle that I really like to read about. The story of a certain centurion who had a sick servant, and he came to Jesus. There's actually a lot of parallel here. In verse 4, he came to Jesus. He had sent, and his servants were trying to tell Jesus that he was worthy of him coming. They're convincing him of that in verse 5. And so, verse 6, Jesus went with them, and he was now not far from the house. The centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. We see an element here of biblical prayer that the demons also understood, and that he understood his place before God. He understood that he was not worthy of God's presence. The demons also understood that. They said, what have we to do with thee? What have we to do with thee? We cannot exist in the same place. What have we to do with thee? And this centurion sent people out to stop him before that he got to the house, saying, I'm not worthy that you should come into my house. Verse 7, he said, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come to thee. I didn't feel as though I could come to you either. And then we see his faith, which we've also read concerning the demons there. We see his faith, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. Say in a word. Verse 8, he says, for I am also a man set under authority and having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. This centurion recognized there was great, invisible authority of Jesus Christ everywhere he went. That there were servants that could not be seen, that there were powers that could not be seen, and that all that Jesus had to do was say, go. We see back in our story, back in Matthew chapter 8, the demons also understood this. It seems as though believers today are some of the only ones, I don't want to say luxury, I can't find the right word, but we're afforded the ability to exist without any comprehension of God's power and authority. We're able to just ignore it. The demons are very well aware of the authority of Jesus Christ. And in this passage, he says, go, in verse 32 of Matthew 8, and they go. They understand that authority. The minute he sets foot on shore, they begin to fear. They begin to worry at the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to sense his presence. How we are rebuked by the lesson of the demons here and what they know of our Lord. What we know of him is so very small, so very little. One of the things that the miracles do is they remind us of the far-reaching power and authority of Jesus Christ. It's limitless. He shows up and anything is possible. Not only do the devils realize that when he shows up, everything is possible, they also recognize that everything is probable. Everything is probable. Sometimes we forget about that. We forget about the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see this in the miracles, how that he healed all many times. Not only is the power and the authority there, and not only is it possible, but the devils realized that it was very probable. And so they immediately began pleading for mercy. There is nothing more wicked than demons, than the servants of Satan. How this ought to cause us to petition the Lord in prayer. In this passage, he allows a little bit of temporary mercy upon these demons. He allows that space. How this ought to cause us to come to the Lord in faith. Sometimes we feel so unworthy. And we allow Satan to whisper in our ear, you can't come to the cross. You can't come make requests at the throne of God. You can't do that. You're not like the people in the Bible. You're not like the pastor. You're not like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so. Satan's really good at whispering those things in your ears. Every time we see a story concerning the demons, every time we see the Lord casting out devils, we see somebody who is the most unregenerate in the lowest and darkest place of their life. They can't even make requests for themselves. And we see the sovereignty of God enacted upon them. Mm-hmm. I love that. Every time you read one of those passages, the sovereignty of God is just is enacted upon them. God commendeth his love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. We see the sovereignty of God upon them. What a blessing to consider that. When we consider the miracles of God and these things, how it ought to cause us to pray, to ask for things, to seek things from the Lord. It's amazing in this passage that the devils are the only one requesting. We see also that they had certain biblical knowledge of their future. They knew that there was a day coming which they would be destroyed. And they made requests according to the will of God. That's another thing that we see from them. 1 John chapter 5, if you turn there. First John 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desired of him. Do you have that confidence when you pray to the Lord? I mean, think of this. What an odd miracle here. Nobody else is talking. The disciples aren't talking. The possessed men aren't talking. In other passages we have the father of the possessed man coming and pleading with Jesus and praying. But we don't have that in this passage. All we have is a conversation between the darkest and lowest of forces in the world and the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet he answers there in verse 32 of Matthew 8, go. And they went out. We see that they prayed according, they made request according to his will. We see that they had submitted to Christ. They came out and they just submitted. They knew his power, they knew his authority. And oh, how it ought to encourage us to pray. As we consider the topic of this passage, the topic that we've been looking at for this conference, the miracles of the Lord. We forget that they're the Lord's miracles. It's just him. It's just he is the only effectual agent in all the miracles. And we forget about that. When we go to pray and we begin to think about ourselves and we begin to think about our faults and we begin to measure ourselves against other people. You know, maybe you don't have that problem. You know, some people, their problem is pride. That's not everybody's problem. Other people's problem is they just beat themselves up and they never pray. They won't go to the Lord. They doubt themselves. They're weak spirits. Many times we're that way. But what we forget is that these miracles, Jesus is the only effectual agent. Nothing else matters. This is the lowest of low. It doesn't matter. The two men that were possessed are in the worst estate of their life. There's no cleaning their life up so that they might be able to go to temple and might be able to find some reformation and then maybe God will come into their life. There isn't any of that. The only effectual agent is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we forget that sometimes. We know it theologically. We know it because we're Baptists. But we really actually pray and live life as if it's Jesus and a little bit of us. That's how we live. That's how we think. That's how we pray. That's the amount of hope that we carry around. It robs us of all of our hope. That's what it does. Whenever you inject you back into the situation, whenever you inject you back into the miracle, it leaves that room for failure.
Right.
And all hope goes out the window. When you take you out of the equation, anything is possible.
Amen.
When it's just Jesus. And you take you out of the equation. That's what I like about this miracle. It takes you out of the equation. It doesn't. There was nobody to make a very flowery prayer. To say the right words. How often do we do that? I'm just being honest. I do it all the time. If we say this prayer just right. We might as well cross our fingers while we do it, right? We do that. If I say the right, the exact words, it's all Him.
Amen.
And when you take you out of the miracles and you realize that it is all Him, anything's possible. Hope, the level of hope goes way up. Because the circumstance no longer matters. The circumstance has nothing to do with it at that point. Doesn't matter how bad the circumstance is, how dark the position is. When you take you out, anything is possible. Jesus is the only effectual agent. These are the Lord's miracles. Lastly, we see the reaction of the populace. It's really quite sad, actually. Verse 33, "And they that kept them fled, went their ways into the city, and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. When they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts." This was too much disruption, this Jesus. They asked that he would leave. The people chose demons over Jesus.
Right.
It upset their occupations. It upset their daily lives. They chose wealth over freedom. They really did. They would rather keep their swine, keep their herds, and just have that area of the cemetery, keep that dark area over there. We can travel around that. You know, we segregate our lives. And they would rather keep that area of darkness. Keep that barrier. Keep that wall there. And have a little more income. That's really what they were saying. This is too much disruption to have Jesus. And that was the choice that the populace, that the people made. Luke chapter 14, turn there. Verse 25, and there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? There's cost. There's cost in having the power and presence of the Lord in your life. There's cost in having His freedom and His blessings. There's cost. Those that had the swine, they lost their herds that day. And they determined, we don't want to pay the cost. We don't want to pay the cost to have the presence and the power of the Lord in our lives. To have healing, to have what He can do for us. At times it will cost. And they determined, the town there, the region around, determined that they would rather keep the darkness, keep the barriers, keep the demons, than have the Lord Jesus Christ. And that seems totally absurd, and yet people make that decision every day. It seems, you know, when we read it in a miracle, it just seems far out there. No, nobody would do that. Certainly people would see the fact that it would be much better economically to get out all the wickedness, to purge out all of that, to no longer compromise. And yet people choose compromise all the time. It seems absurd, but it's true. And so just a few of the takeaways that we have from this miracle. We saw that they came up against a great demonic barrier. They came to a place where no man could pass through. And that was brought out very well last night, how that miracles, many times, God sovereignly puts us in a place where by the strength of man, we will not pass through. And He does that to show His power and His glory. We saw that when Jesus arrived, His very presence, His very authority caused the demons to fear. And the demons knew enough to make requests. Such an odd miracle. And the demons make requests and they submit themselves to the power and the authority and the presence of the Lord. The lowest of low, the darkest of dark, the most unworthy that could ever be. How it ought to cause us to hope and to pray. When faced with great barriers, when faced with great difficulties, to remove us from the equation and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. One of my favorite verses in the book of Isaiah, the Lord says to Israel, He says, fear not, thou worm, Jacob, I will help thee. Doesn't matter what you are. Take you out of the equation. When you go to pray, when you're faced with a trial, when you're faced with a great barrier, no matter how dark, no matter how demonic it may be, whatever you are faced with, take you out of the equation. Pray according to His will. Understand that these are the Lord's miracles, not yours. You're not asking for help to do your own miracle. You are just asking for the sovereign presence of God.
Amen.
And if He does it on behalf of people that are as low as these two men in the tombs, oh, how that ought to cause us to hope. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. We sing the song, How Firm a Foundation. And the words of that song are, How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. There are so many things to cause us to pray in the Word of God. There's no boundary. To the child of God to come to the throne of God, there is every encouragement in the Word of God to come. To ask things that you don't think are askable, to ask things that you don't think you have grounds to ask, ask things that you don't think you're worthy to ask, take you out of the equation. It doesn't matter. It's never mattered. It's always been Him. It's always been His sovereignty, and it's always been His righteousness. It's never been our power. It's never been our righteousness. Never been our worthiness. Take you out of the equation and call upon the Lord. And then lastly, we saw the reaction of the populace. They'd rather have demons than Jesus. It's a tale of our world today.
Yes,
ma'am. They'd rather have demons than Jesus.
Right.
There's a cost, but it's not that great. What is your reaction to the Lord Jesus as we consider these miracles? Let these miracles encourage every one of these miracles as you look at them, as you look at what He does, who He does it to, and how He does it. It ought to encourage you to pray, to ask. Ask for His help, ask for His power. He'll do it for you. If He does it for me, I guarantee He'll do it for you. What a blessing. Thank you.
Amen.